Now, today's reading comes from Luke chapter 1, and it's from verses 47 through to 56. And this is Mary's song, so I'm going to read it in the key of G. Okay. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, in this time of reflection, open your word to us. May your Holy Spirit speak afresh to us. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week we're into the fourth and final week of Advent. This is the home stretch. This coming Saturday, believe it or not, is Christmas Eve, one of the holiest days of the year for us as Christians. But we're not quite there yet. We have a few more days to go. And as we may know or remember, the word Advent, it means coming or arrival. This particular season is when we all prepare in our own ways for the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem. But we as Christians, we also prepare for the Lord's second advent, when he will return to judge the living and the dead. During this season of Advent, it is so important for us to prepare well. It is so important for us to wait with purpose. We may feel this need to prepare in our personal lives with buying gifts, with preparing meals and decorating our homes, all well and good. But this need to prepare well is even more important in our spiritual lives. We need to take time. We need to pay attention to our walk with God, to how God is using this time to form us and shape us as disciples. Now, as human beings, most of us love to make plans. Even if you're not much of a planner, sometimes you enjoy having a plan of no plan at all. Plans make us feel like we're in control. We're in control. On some level, we all want to be in control, don't we? We all want to be in charge. We all want to make our own destinies. And on some level, we all like to think that deep, deep down, we know best. But here's a hard truth. 9.9 times out of 10, we don't know best. We just don't. Oh, sometimes we have a glimmer of truth. Sometimes we have a small grasp on what is best. But overwhelmingly, only God knows what is best. Over and over again, God wants to wake us from our stupor, from our self-obsession, and realign our lives with God's will. In other words, in our world of darkness and sin, God, in so many ways, is the great disruptor. And this season of Advent, I think, it reminds us that as God incarnate, Jesus is a disruptive guest. Jesus is a disruptive guest. One of my teachers back in university, teacher of theology, he often liked to refer to Jesus as the divine intruder. I quite like that. But we hear today that Jesus is a disruptive guest. And usually, in most contexts, it's usually a huge no-no to be a disruptive guest. Because most acts of disruption detract from what is at hand. But this is not so with God. God's acts of disruption, they actually restore what is broken. They actually right what is wrong. This, I think, is the wider theme of this morning's passage from Luke, which is often called the Magnificat. When I was preparing this sermon, I came across one commentator who called this passage from Luke, he called it a revolutionary blueprint of divine favor. I'll say that again, a revolutionary blueprint of divine favor. I quite like that. The Magnificat is Mary's song, and the entire hymn is sung from the posture of someone who is in desperate need of God's help. From what we know of her life, this was certainly a time when Mary had a keen awareness of her need for God's help. At most, she was probably, 15 or 16 years old, not yet married, when the angel Gabriel visited her and told her that she would be giving birth to the Savior of the world. Now, at the time, having a child at that age was not out of the norm. Having a child that young was not frowned on, but doing so outside of marriage most certainly was. We might be uncomfortable in hearing what I'm about to say, but I think it is true. And this is that God's call on Mary's life, what Gabriel shared with her, this calling, God's purpose for Mary, it made her vulnerable. It made her vulnerable. In her own particular way, Mary experienced this vulnerability. In her encounter with Gabriel, she was told, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even your relative, Elizabeth, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And at first, hearing these words of the angel, Mary gave a stoic answer. And this answer is often lauded as a supreme example of submission and obedience to God's will. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Now that's very admirable. That is the right answer. But this isn't the end of the story. In Luke chapter 1, 39 through 40, we are told, at that time, right after she said these words, we're told, at that time, Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She hurried, I think, because of what Gabriel had told her about Elizabeth, and also because the reality of her own news was starting to really sink in. I think she wanted to see this proof of Gabriel's claim that Elizabeth was soon to have a child of her own. And having seen her older cousin, having heard her say that the baby in her womb leaped for joy at the sight of Mary and still feeling her own great vulnerability, Mary burst into song with the Magnificat. When we look at this text closely, these words of the Magnificat, when we compare these words with the wider body of Scripture, we'll see that nearly every line is drawn from other parts of Scripture, heavily paralleled in other parts of the Bible, especially from the Psalms. So in other words, the Magnificat is Mary's song, but she had a lot of help writing it. As a devout Jew, she was clearly steeped in the spiritual language of her people. And she took these bits and pieces and she brought them all together in one offering in the Magnificat. And she gave expression to one of the most powerful shows of faith in God's salvation. As I have said before, the entire Magnificat is a, quote, revolutionary blueprint of divine favor, end quote. Mary's song, this Magnificat, reminds us that God is not neutral in the affairs of our world, and instead is firmly on the side of the vulnerable, the marginalized, and the struggling. God is the one who has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, brought down rulers from their thrones, and lifted up the humble, filled the hungry with good things, and sends the rich empty away. And if we're paying close attention, we'll notice that Mary's song is describing things God has done. Has done. What does this mean? Was she in some sort of denial about the state of her world and our world, in which the proud, the corrupt, and the indulged seem to run the show? No. I don't think Mary was in denial. Instead, her song, I think, was recalling times when God's faithfulness was known and seen in the world. So in this song, in this Magnificat, Mary was declaring, God has done it before, and God will do it again. And as Christians, we believe that the ultimate expression of God's deliverance, everything contained in this Magnificat, it's found in Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate and final verse of Mary's Magnificat. Now, we look around the world today, we might be tempted to think that the proud, the corrupt, and the indulged are really firmly in control. Where is the music of the Magnificat today? However, to adapt some words from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., this Magnificat, Mary's song, it reminds us that the arc of the moral universe, it bends towards God's justice. The arc of the moral universe bends towards God's justice. It bends towards justice. It isn't fully here yet, but it is coming. In this interim time, this time between the Lord's first and second advent, the Lord himself reminds us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and don't we know that in our world today? In this interim time, we will still have challenges. We'll still have hardships. We'll still have grief. Faith in Christ does not mean that we must close our eyes, live in a fantasy, and pretend everything is already okay. That's not what Christian faith is about. But as believers, the Magnificat reminds us that these things, as difficult as they are, as much as they fill our headlines, these things are not the final word. These things are not the end. The birth of Jesus tells us emphatically that darkness will not have the last word. Advent and the birth of Jesus remind us that hope, joy, and life have come, and they will come again. This, I think, on this final Sunday of Advent, is what Mary's song is all about. This is the message of the Magnificat. So as we journey into this final week of Advent, as we draw ever closer to the manger, may the Holy Spirit speak to us afresh. May the Holy Spirit change us from within. And may the words and this disruptive, joyous power of Mary's song, may it fill us with faith and hope and trust. And may we truly believe that God has done it before. And God will do it again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.